All right, everyone, welcome to the pre-township press conference we have today. Both teams, both Joe Michin and Max Julian, here to answer some questions for the media. I will allow Chibi to start this off with any opening statement he may have.
Coop or the chief, coop or the chief. Thank you.
Beautifully said, Max. Do you have any response to that or an opening statement yourself?
Well, first off, it's an honor to be here facing off against Chib, who's the most deserving person in the league to be here. I hate the fact that it's got to be the hottest two players at their position in the NFL playing for my favorite team and everybody other than Casey's favorite team in the league, in Grant. Sorry about Russell Wilson, but for all the Browns fans, though my fandom has been questioned and doubted, I think the tweet from Stefano, Joe Flacco getting slimed, how wonderful it is. And if I'm going to go down on Thursday like I always have, I'm happy for it to be Amari Cooper and David Njoku.
That has kind of been the line, has been my feeling this last few days leading up to this. Max, happy to be here, happy to be playing against Chibi, finds Chibi to be so deserving. Joe, does that mentality from your opponent grate on you at all?
No, it doesn't, because you know, I reciprocate the same feelings towards him. Max is a guy that has been in my corner for a long time, and at the end of last season told me I'm going to be playing for a championship next year. And I said, yeah, right. And during the draft, he said, you're going to be playing for a championship this year. And I said, yeah, right. And I was 3-6. And he said, you're going to get hot. You're going to make it. You're going to be fine. Your team looks great. And I said, yeah, right. So I really appreciate everything, you know, he has done for me this year, all of his kind words, and has kind of pushed me along. So no, I mean, I think this may go down as one of the more respected title games in recent history. And really for anyone else, and I know it's happened in the league, that are trying to kind of downplay this matchup and downplay the title. Well, that's easy to do when you're watching. So just keep watching this weekend.
Max, last year we talked a lot about it being a big success for you. A slow start in your TTFFL career after you broke off from Team Rax and went on your own. Last year you finally broke through, you made the playoffs, and we really kind of rejoiced, I think you did, in that. And now to have taken it two steps further, you know, you get the bye, you win your first playoff game. Now you're here at this point. What does it mean to have gotten here?
I mean, I know people may doubt the sincerity of this answer, but, like, I'm really just happy to prove that I fully admit this year I'm a fraud, but that I'm not atrocious at fantasy football. Like, I mean, the first couple of years were embarrassing, and Baker and Cousins didn't put up the points like they are this year, but I always believed. And last year I thought my team was amazing, and to steal one, like, from Dave last year, when Dave went down, he was saying this was the best he ever played. Like, I think the elephant in the room is the Njoku Debo trade that was really a Brian Robinson trade. But you're looking at, since that trade happened, Njoku's been the best tight end in fantasy football for Chib, and Debo's come on strong for me. And I think I've made some good trades and played really well, and injuries are part of the game. Obviously, I wish I had Joe Burrow, but I mean, I think that Joe and I both went after some of the stable, steady quarterbacks, and Lawrence, Mahomes, and Burrow, and Mahomes is still there, and we'll see about Lawrence, but I think that I voted Chibby number one at the beginning of the year, and I really liked my team. And other than Burrow being hurt, I mean, everything's kind of gone my way. So what's I wish I had something hostile or angry to say that would get people fired up. I just really don't. I think it's two really good teams that were pretty low risk, stable teams.
Yeah, Chip, I got to imagine there's a similar sentiment. How many times I've talked to you over the years, I can't miss the playoffs 5 years in a row like Fano. You couldn't do it 4 years in a row like Louis. You end up missing the playoffs 6 years in a row. Now you're back. I know it was a weight lifted just to make it into the playoffs, and now you're here. Same thing. You know, what does it mean to have gone even further than maybe the plans were for?
Yeah, I think it's truly been helpful in terms of my self-belief. You know, I've been through, you know, I put in a group me the night I clinched a playoff spot. I've been through hell, and I've walked through hell these 6 years, and so many things have gone the wrong way, and there've been so many mismanagements and bad luck and you name it. And so really that was just, like you said, just getting to the playoffs was the goal, point blank, because I knew once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. So it's just get there and see how it goes. So admittingly, I think the last couple of weeks I've been playing pretty stress-free and just really excited that we've kind of gotten things back on track and turned the ship a little bit, and here we are. So it's been fantastic. I've had a ton of fun the last couple of weeks watching some ridiculous performances from a couple guys, and I'm just excited for this week.
Max, I want to talk about last year. You did finally break through. You made it to the playoffs. It comes down to one lineup decision that cost you that playoff game. You would have gone on to win the championship had you made that correct decision. What is the decision this week that is going to make or break this game for you?
Well, I think it's Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I think if you look at it, I'm pretty locked in. Assuming everybody stays healthy, with Gibbs and Mixon have been good all year. Gibbs has been great lately. I'd even say Mixon's been great lately. Debo, Kittle locked in. Deontay and Devonta Smith are locked in. I think I have to roll with Browning. And I think if Lawrence goes, it's probably going to be – well, it's obviously going to be him if he plays. You can't spend that much money on a guy and then sit him. Beathard, I really think I'm at the point where it's probably going to be Beathard no matter what. If I lose a championship because of that, I just really don't know if I trust – as much as I love Tyrod Taylor, but Mason Rudolph and Tyrod Taylor aren't going to be it. If Purdy doesn't play – Darnold could be a possibility, but I think I don't think I have many decisions. It's just kind of to the point where these are my guys, and I don't think I could obviously I could live with myself, but I certainly was very frustrated last year sitting Zeke and Daniel Jones. Like, that was always hard, but I don't think any self-respecting Browns fan, as hard as I've been on Haslam and Watson, couldn't live with playing Mason Rudolph in the championship and getting let down by that.
Chib, same to you. Jaden Reed hanging out there on the bench. He's a guy who you've played a couple of times recently. Though I don't know if there's anything, you know, is there any hesitation at all in the lineup decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I've had to key in on, and this has been something I've dealt with the last couple of weeks, is just kind of the overall health of the receiving core. I mean, I had some I had the ball not bounce my way in terms of a couple of game time decisions this past week, and was able to get through it, obviously. But I just think the continuing to monitor the health of some guys, and it starts with Amari, quite frankly, on, you know, here to start things off, and just kind of see where that goes, and you know, if guys practice and how they're feeling and all that. But the nice thing is I feel like I have some options on the bench if I have to. You know, I think I've proven that. But yeah, other than that, I'm pretty much locked in. I would love to not play Patrick Mahomes, but I just feel like, yeah, you kind of have to. And so that's what we're going to probably have to roll with.
I'm sure it's not your favorite thing to talk about, but everybody knows it. It's been talked to death this year and last year. How did 0-14 impact the way you played the game this year?
I don't know that it really did. I think the biggest thing was in the draft. And we're so far removed from that. You know, that stuff happens. You know, I've explained many times how 0-14 happens. And that's on me. And that was some mental weakness from me more than anything else. But really it was just it kind of changed the draft strategy a little bit. Once the season gets going, you just have to go with the, you know, who's hot and make your decisions with who's on your team. That is so far removed now, that I feel good about things.
Max, you've called yourself a fraud, several times, especially recently. We go back, you know, we were looking at the weekly rankings each week, how do teams match up against other teams historically at different points of the season. Through 6 weeks, you had 24 possible wins. You were the 137th ranked out of 168 teams all time. A bit of a bottom feeder there through 6 weeks. But it really seems like these last few weeks, the team has gotten hot at the right time. And I guess just tell me about that journey. Starting off slow, finding ways to get wins and get yourself to a point where you get a bye and a shot here to win it all.
Well, coming into the season, I wanted stability. From when I first got in the league, I first off want to say that 0-14 thing is bullshit. Because before I was friends with the majority of the league, when it was really just UCJ Louie starting to become, been friends with Chibi forever and Ryan, but like casually knowing most of the other guys, the thing that attracted me most in this league was just, you hear so much in all these podcasts and SiriusXM and articles about, oh yeah, go pick this guy up. He's available in 50% of the leagues. Like, those leagues are bullshit. Like, everybody in this league cares and it's strong. And like, that's just proof to like, nobody's really that much better than everybody. Everybody fucking cares. And so I thought my way to get there was going to be stability at the quarterback position. And I thought Lawrence, Burrow, Lamar Jackson was a little bit more of a risk. Justin Herbert and Mahomes were guys that I really targeted. And I really liked the idea of getting a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, who everybody loved Bijan, and Chibi has Bijan, and Bijan's a star. But I thought that maybe getting a guy like Gibbs and holding on and waiting for him to emerge, and that Burrow and Lawrence would kind of be the guys who kept me 500 until a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs started to emerge. And Gibbs has emerged. Obviously, Burrow was not a very good pick this year. He's been hurt all year on and off, had a couple big weeks. But I think that's the main reason why I view myself as a fraud. I would think that obviously Mahomes was a bigger investment than Burrow, but when you're a team that commits that many of your draft dollars to one player, it really stinks when he's not there. But Browning's been fantastic other than last week, and I fully admit I got lucky, but Browning was a little less sucky than Purdy, and that was really, really the difference. But also, when you look at that, Pat lost Herbert. So, I mean, I just like to say, as much as I voted Chibby number one all year, been rooting for Chibby because I think he was completely unfairly persecuted last year and shit on completely unfairly. I think Pat played the best of everybody all year this year. Like, I think I made some good moves, but Pat got really unlucky and lost Herbert. And I just would like to say that I thought Pat was fucking incredible this year.
She had a similar situation. I'm looking as late as week 13, 1 week left in the regular season. And in terms of possible wins, I have you in 11th place. You go into that last week of the season, you know, win or go home. You put up high points. That ends up putting you in eighth, one possible win away from seventh. I mean, just to put you kind of middle of the road because the standings were kind of tight. But talking a week left in the season, and you were the worst team in this league besides CJ in terms of possible wins. You know, how does it happen? What is the way that the confidence levels rose and shrunk throughout the season? Obviously, week two, we have the famous "see you in the championship, Dave" comment. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. And just how have you managed the expectations throughout the year?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a points four sandwich, I guess, for me. I felt really good about things in the beginning of the year. It was, you know, as you alluded to, very, very thin in the middle portion of the year. And then now here, I feel like I've come on pretty strong of late. The biggest thing for me was, you know, I kept looking around the league and I kept trying to make moves and I kept trying to do something different and shake things up and kind of give it one last chance. And I kept looking at rosters and it's like, I couldn't really find a way to legitimately improve the roster. It's not that my guys were all healthy and I've been very blessed this year with health for the most part on our roster. It's just that guys were underperforming and it's just like, you know, I looked around the league and things were so tight and I just couldn't really find a real way to make a big impact on my team. So we kind of rode it out and we've gotten cooking lately, you know, which is why I'm here. But really that's all it's been. It's just been kind of, let's play this thing out. Let's see how it goes. And quite honestly, it is amazing that I'm playing in this game when Mahomes is quarterback 7 or 8, I think. And Bijan is running back 9 or 10, I think. And, you know, Geno is quarterback 20, I think. So, you know, when you hear those numbers, it's like, wow, it didn't go well again. But, you know, it's just been other guys that have kind of stepped up and at different points in the year when I've really needed them. So, you know, we're riding this right.
I've talked about, you know, those comparing teams throughout the years. And for most of this season, Ryan Shaheen was the greatest team of all time. Chib, you beat him in week 3 when you had high points, 202. You beat him in week 13 with, you know, four possible wins, 153.46 to 153.32. Just barely squeaked it out. And then last week you put up high points against him in the playoffs where he has, you know, just lost his way here late in the season. Obviously there's history there in that rivalry. What does it mean to have beaten Ryan 3 times during what was a historic season for him almost?
Well, I'm glad these numbers are being mentioned now. I felt like this is a little late for these type of numbers to be shown publicly. I felt, quite frankly, a little slighted by the podcast a week ago, hearing all about Ryan's team that I already beat twice. And you know, not to mention, I had the second best record in the league, and I've beaten Ryan now 3 times. So what does that make me? I guess I don't know if I deserve this or not, but so it's nice to finally hear those numbers. It feels really good. I mean, I heard all year long how good Ryan was, and well, maybe for other teams, but we were able to handle him.
Yeah, I beat him too. For what it's worth, I think we're the only ones who did. No big deal. Yeah,
right.
Max, what scares you the most about Chibi's team this week?
Oh, it's Mahomes. I think it's a really good team. I've admitted to you, I don't know, 1,000 times since I got into this league, how much I hate Thursday night football. But when things were bleakest for my team, DJ Moore, the player I believed in least on my roster at the draft, went fucking apeshit. And I mean, Njoku and Cooper, like, as much as I rag on Jimmy Haslam for the Deshaun Watson thing, the Amari Cooper deal has been phenomenal. And I mean, we all just saw maybe the greatest performance. I don't know. I haven't seen a more meaningful one from a Browns receiver than what Cooper just did, and the guys at the top of his game, and seeing Njoku go off would, definitely since I just traded him. But I've been happy with Debo, and I would do the trade again. I just think Njoku's absolute superstar. So either the Browns on Thursday night, which I'm a Browns fan. They're my favorite team. So it would definitely stink fantasy wise, but I don't know. Thursday nights are tough, but it's got to be Mahomes. I mean, he's the best player in the NFL, and it always seems like when people doubt him, that's when he comes through. So I would not be surprised at all if Mahomes went crazy.
Jib, same question to you. What's the scariest thing when you look up and down Max's roster right now?
A couple of things. The first one being similar to what he said about Njoku. I just don't want Debo to beat me. You know what I mean? I just really would hate that to happen. Their trade has absolutely worked out. The trade has really probably gotten us both here to this game. But I would just hate to see him do that to me. Gibbs is really scary, really scary. I could see him getting in the end zone with a couple of times with ease. And then just the unknown of the quarterback situation makes me uneasy, because Max has half the league of quarterbacks on his roster, and I don't know which two it's going to end up being. So that's just that unknown maybe is kind of scary. But Max is a good team. He's been so resilient. He absolutely deserves to be here. I think it was Dave that had the stat of there in the middle of the year when me and Max were kind of licking our wounds a little bit, and we've been in 13-1 since then. So these are two deserving teams, and I'm scared about my own team as well. You know, I think we all kind of have that a little bit when you go into these. So I'm scared about myself, and then all the other things about Max.
Max, you hear some things he say about some of your guys. Who do you look at on your team this week as the X factor, the person who's going to make an impact, exceeding what everyone else is expecting from them? I don't know whether that's a good player having a tremendous game, or just someone that no one's expecting putting up bigger numbers. Who's that X factor?
I mean, I feel like it is. I fully admit I am romantic for the storyline, former huge pro wrestling fan. I get caught up in it way too much to my own detriment. I believe I'm the complete opposite of Dave, which I admire his ability to just look at the numbers, but I feel like it's got to be Gibbs. Like, I feel like Gibbs was the guy I wanted, and everybody, I feel like, maybe other than you two, I got so many bad trade offers for him early, and he just looked great every time he got an opportunity, and I just kind of feel like he's he's my guy since I don't have Burrow and Lawrence isn't looking good. He's the guy I hitched my wagon to. And if Gibbs won me a championship, I would feel like, hey, man, you knew that was your guy. You stuck to him. He's been building all year. And he came through.
Jib, same question. Who's your X factor?
Got to be Mahomes. It's time. It's now or never. It's been a really disappointing campaign, but he's got one more opportunity to make every penny worth it. And Bijan as well. You know, Bijan has been such a roller coaster ride in and himself this season with his usage and, you know, his ability and all that. And, you know, that would be a really, really nice thing for me to be able to get one more good one out of him. He has been able to really do a good job all year in salvaging a lot of really weird games with catches and yards and a few touchdowns here or there. If I could get one more out of him, and if Patrick could just finally cash that check that I wrote him, I feel good.
Max, do you happen to know what your record is against Chibi since you've gotten your own team here?
I don't. I feel like it's pretty good, and I apologize for saying that, but
it's 5-1. And Chib has an 18% possible win percentage when he plays Max. It's not a great number. And does that affect your confidence at all going into this game?
Mine, absolutely not. I mean, the only thing that I'll take as fact is that I continue to lay down for Dave every time we play. And I don't. I don't think so. When we talk of confidence, I'm happy to be here, but it's I don't know. I think ESPN has it as like 53-47. It's two very, very similar teams, and I don't know, man. I really wish I had some outlandish, crazy thing to say, but. I just feel like the man who showed up and showed that he cares as much or more than anybody in the league and had the whole league as his groomsman. And like, it's just, he's that dude. And I'm going to give him my best shot. But I mean, like, I don't know, we're here. Like, I wish I could be Conor McGregor, but that's just not me. And I know that's probably very boring radio, but that's really all I got, man. I'm just happy to be here with him. So it's going to be fun.
Chibi says some glowing things there. Entire league is your groomsman. I would be remiss to not bring it up. The talk of retirement has been thrown around last season as well as this season. Where are we on the retirement?
No comment on that at this time. We're really just focused on this game. And I mean, I think everyone realizes what a win this week would do to the legacy and just kind of the overall mindset and everything. But I said what I said, earlier this season. And as of right now, there are no updates to that. But I'll say this. Those talks are completely internal, and that's where they're going to stay. And there's nothing that someone can put on a group chat or a text or a phone call or wherever it may be. That's not going to play a role in a decision. It's going to be up to me and my family.
Max, you summed it up pretty good there with your last statement, but any closing comments for us?
In regards to that, I just is definitely Kyle and I being the outsiders of the core 10 who really grew up together. Was watching the Sandlot, Hoosiers, and Friday Night Lights all in one weekend with the boys. that scene at the end of The Sandlight when they talk about the kids moving out of the league and how they never replaced anybody. And just truly, this league is an incredible thing. And maybe as that little bit more of an outsider, just a little different perspective, but it's fucking incredible. And I wouldn't want to play with any other 11 guys. And I love you all. And I'm glad I'm not a complete fucking joke anymore.
Chib, closing statement.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for organizing this. I think it's well documented, the journey to get here for me personally. A lot has had to been endured, and it has been. And you know, quite frankly, I didn't know if this opportunity would ever come again. I'm still a little perplexed that this was the team that is going to give me that chance, but here we are. I'll say this, and you know, I know we beat each other up a lot. It's tough love, and it's a definite brotherhood in this league. But until you go through that drought, and there are some that I hope do go through that drought, but I won't name names. But until you go over that drought, you know, and you come out the other side of it, these opportunities mean a lot. And I just want that to be clear. This means everything to me this week. And the retirement stuff can be talked about, and my behavior and comments and whatever can be talked about. But make no mistake, I haven't slept in a few days, and I don't plan on sleeping in a few more, because this means everything to me. And I just want that fucking tiger, man.
Well, good luck to you both. Thank you all for joining us for this pre-township press conference. And good luck to you both this week.
God bless the TTFFL.
Thank you, gentlemen.